spirit today. This is you're moving, you're speaking, God. This is you never surprised. This is you've been in it the whole time. This is this is this is this is a
sound amazing. Perfect. Got my jitters out. Let's go. Lord, thank you for the light.
Thank you for the light. Shine.
Montebourg.
His heart upon the cross, and from his wounds his mercy's flowing, and from the dawn put death to death, and ever since that grave's been empty. Behold,
you to stand with us while we get ready to worship God this morning. How many of you know that God is amazing? Yes. Okay, God is awesome. And he's worthy and worthy to be praised. So before we start a song, I want you to shout out the biggest praise you can muster from in your spirit. Come on. Hallelujah!
I don't need the smoke of mirrors, 'cause I know there's a God who's real. I don't need the lights to fool me, 'cause I have seen a God who heals. I know when I ask, I'll receive it. You're not a God who withholds. I hear you say, just believe me.
Come on and sing it.
I need a Holy Ghost awakening my soul. I need a love that goes rattling my boat till the evidence shows.
Come on and sing it out.
I need a Holy Ghost awakening my soul. I need a heart on fire that will never grow tired wherever I go. I need a Holy, Holy Ghost. I need a ghost. Holy, Holy Ghost. I need a ghost. I don't need another counterfeit comfort, 'cause nothing in this world remains. I need something stronger than my name. Flowing inside of these veins, I need a Holy Ghost awakening my soul. I need a love that flows rattling my bones till the evidence. I need a Holy Ghost awakening my soul. I need a heart on fire that'll never grow tired wherever. Taste, I know. I just want more. I just want more. You're the kingdom that's been burning inside me. It's like a lion's roar wants to revive me. And every time I get a taste, I know. I just want more.
Jesus, fill this room, Lord. We worship you, Jesus.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love. Realize
bless your name in this place, God. We thank you, Jesus. Church, this is our last song. I encourage you to just put your hands up. Let everything from the week go. Let it all go and worship him this morning. Because we serve a God who is fighting for us, who is with us. God, we just glorify you for the battles and the victories in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And I tried so hard to see it. It took me so long to believe it. That you choose someone like me to carry your victory. praise him for the miracles you've seen. I want you to give him glory for the miracles he's done in your life. Come on and bless the Lord this morning. Come on and bless the Lord this morning. There are miracles in this room today. Bless the Lord this morning. God, we thank you in advance for what you're doing in this place this morning. I thank you for strongholds that seemed impossible to break, that they are broken in the name of Jesus. In the presence of the Most High God, we give you praise in this place. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Open up your mouth. Somebody shout unto God with a voice of triumph and take your place. Come on.
Those are fighting words. I love, this is the subject that Pastor Steve's going to be teaching on today. And let me tell you, if you don't feel like you are seated in heavenly places, by the time you leave here, you're gonna have a new revelation, a new understanding. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, good morning. Welcome to Ascend Church. Won't you just greet someone, tell them how good it is to see them, and you may be seated. Thank you. God, well, welcome to Ascend Church. Who's happy to be in church this morning? I'm glad to be in church this morning. Amen. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're glad you joined us today. Settle in and don't get distracted, and just make this part of your Sunday morning. I love being in church. I'll tell you why. It's something that the Lord tells us to do. He says, don't forsake the gathering together of the saints. You know, I can pray, you can pray, I can read my Bible, you can study your Bible, but there's something that happens when we gather together that is very important in the kingdom of God. And so I'm so thankful you're here today. I'm so thankful to be here. I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. Do we have anyone visiting for the first time today? We'd just like to give you a welcome packet. Anyone for the first time? No, I don't see anybody here. Chris Birch, you know I know you too well for that, my brother. You may have been away for a couple of weeks, but
We recognize you. Praise God. Well, I just want to remind you that our clipboard will come by and just fill your name out. And if you've had any changes to your email or your phone, just put that on. It really helps Pastor Steve. He likes to keep be able to get in touch with you if he needs to. And so thank you for doing that. As that comes by, it helps us. Somebody said this the other day. They said, because when you're taking record of who's in church, someone said, we don't count people to see how many are there. We count to see who's not there. That's what really matters. Jesus always left the 99 to go after the one, right? And so that's really important to us as a church. But I just want to remind you, is there anybody who does not get our church text messages? If you don't get our church text messages, just one a week, sometimes an occasional one, you just text the word ASCEND to 313131 and you'll keep updated with anything, any special updates that come up. I want to say to those that are watching online, if you're watching on Facebook, please just check in. Let us know where you're watching from. Interact with us on the live stream. We'd love that. Share our live stream. If you're in here and you want to share the Facebook live stream, I've had members of my family that I probably maybe won't even see again in this lifetime because of where they live in the world, and they've watched the live stream. So there's a way of reaching out and sharing this with somebody else. So go ahead and do that if you'd like to. You can download our app. It's always a great resource. And then also the various ways to watch, just to let you know, is on our website, because sometimes we have people watch on Facebook Live and then that goes down for whatever reason and they don't know what to do. There's YouTube, Ascend Church Jupiter. You can watch on our website, which is ascendchurch.us. And same with giving, if you want to go ahead and give. And we really appreciate that. I wanted to say we have some members of our church that haven't been back in church throughout this whole COVID season, and yet they've been faithful givers, and we appreciate you doing that. You can go ahead and just give on our website. We appreciate that. I want to remind you of our four main purposes of our church. The first one is that you would know God. Now, you can know about something or you can know something. I want to know God. Just like we were singing today, I thought about it. If you know Jesus as your champion, if you know that you are seated together with him, if you know his character, and how do you know that? You know that from the word. The more you know about him, the more you know his character, the more confidence you can have in him, right? So we want to help people to know God, to find freedom in every area of their life, to discover their purpose, and to make a difference with their life. Amen? Praise God. I'm looking forward to this message. This is going to be one of my faves.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. I want to introduce you to, many of you know already, but come on, Jackson. Come on, don't be shy. Come on. Come on, this is my daughter, Robin, my oldest daughter, Robin, and this is Jude, my grandson, and this is Emma. And I've got two more that refuse to come up because they're shy.
He's giggling.
Jackson and Jet. And Robin is a community pastor at Hillsong Church in Los Angeles, and I just wanted her to come and say hi to you today.
Hello, good morning. How are you doing this morning? It's so great to be in church with you. Last Sunday, we've been here this is our second Sunday. Last Sunday, when we were in church, in worship, sing maybe three songs, and just from the first song, just felt such a presence of God. And I was saying to my parents, I text our team, who's just waking up in California, getting ready for church. And I said, man, it's such a great reminder that wherever we are in the world, last week, I know Abel was at Hillsong Milan, I think. Wherever we are, when we gather
As a church family, that the Bible says where two or three are gathered in his name, he's there with them. And so wherever we are, whether it's in Florida or California or Europe or anywhere, as we gather here today, here last week, God meets with us.
That's right. Yes.
I just love that. And Dad wanted me to say something. So I thought, what's the one thing? He said that to me down here right now. I thought, what's the one thing that I would want to share if I could say anything? And this week, we actually had this conversation about this idea of, you know, people say, follow your heart, follow your dreams. And it sounds like such a romantic notion. It sounds like it makes sense. Like, yes, you should follow your heart. But, you know, for us, for me, I know for my dad, for my mom, for us, we don't follow our heart. We follow God.
That's right.
Because the thing with your heart is, sometimes your emotions can be an indicator, or you have dreams and the dreams that God's put in your heart, but sometimes your emotions can be unreliable. And so you think, I want this thing, but what does God say about it? And so I just encourage you, above anything else, I know Mom shared a scripture last week, seek the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. And there's so many things that we could do with our life. There's so many things that vie for our time and vie for our energy, but number one, just follow God.
That's right.
And so you go, oh, what does that look like? And I know for me at 22, my husband and I moved to California. We had no one holding us accountable to anything. It was us, you know? And so like 6 months in, we said, hey, we have to decide this for ourselves. Are we going to follow God or we're not? Like, we all in or we not? And so for me, it was just this very honest prayer, I guess, to God. Is like, God, I want what you want. Put in my heart, give me the desires for you. I'm sorry, am I boring you? give me the desire for you. And I even looked back, even just from saying that simple prayer, not necessarily trying or striving or changing my habits or changing my thinking, but just saying, God, I want you. I looked back 6 months later and went, man, there were things that I cared about that I don't care about anymore.
Right.
There are things that I struggled with that I don't struggle with anymore. I wanted to go this way, and I've shifted and went, I think within 6 months I was on church staff in what I always knew was my purpose. So sometimes it's just a matter of going in our decision making or whatever it is, God, what do you say?
Right.
What do you say in this? And just inviting him into the daily decisions of our life.
You moved to California to be an actress, an actor.
Yep.
That was the original.
Yes.
Motivation.
Yes.
But God had a different plan for you.
Yep.
And 6 months that, and Robin did do some things, and she was offered some things, some projects and movies, and she just wasn't comfortable with the things that you were off, some of the things you were offered. And then you ended up working in ministry at Oasis Church. And then and then, you know, when Prophet Ed Trout was here just a little while, I don't know if it was before that or after that, but he said, Robin's out there because she's gonna open a door for one of your children, one of her siblings. And sure enough, that would happen to be Courtney, because our youngest daughter, Courtney, after her first year of college, went out to do a internship for one semester in California. And because her sister was there, I let her go. If you weren't in California, I would have never let Courtney go at 20 by herself to California. But because you were there, I felt comfortable and we felt God was in it. Now, Courtney met Sam, her husband, through you. And now Courtney and her husband, Sam, are the pastors of Hillsong, California, Los Angeles, Orange County. I mean, that's following God's plan instead of following my plan. God's plan is much better than your plan. Trust me right now. God said, I know the plans I have for you. They're plans for good. They're plans to prosper you, to bless you. God's plan for your life is a good plan. I encourage you to say, Lord, let your will be done in my life. I want to follow you. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Love you, Dad.
Love you so much. Love you so much, Emma. Emma Grace. Emma, all right. Love you, babe. I want to have Robin back to speak at our church. She's on the preaching team for Hillsong. And she speaks there quite often. She's a great speaker, great preacher, and I want her to come back. Don't you think that's a good idea, Tom? I want her to come back and speak. Praise the Lord. Well, it is good to see you all today. I want to say thank you to the worship team for doing such a wonderful job for us today. We have Muff over there on the drums, and Job is on the bass, and we have Dave on guitar, and Callie on piano, and the singers, of course, Monique and Leslie and Gwen, Manaya and Anna. Help me. Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate you all did a great job today. So good. Give them a big round of applause. Will you do that? Praise God. In actual fact, we want to thank all of our servant leaders, everyone who serves in this church. We appreciate you, everything that you do. We're a team. Do you know that? And we all have our part to play, and together, you know, teamwork makes the dream work. So praise God. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're so good. We thank you that you're so faithful. We thank you that we can trust in you. We thank you that no matter what we face, we can look to you, that you are our champion. You are our deliverer. You are our healer. You are our provider. You're our protector. You're everything that we need, Lord, and we praise you today. Lord, as I stand to teach your word, I make it known that I'm not trusting in and depending on myself. I'm trusting and I'm depending on you, the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of me, that you will rise up within me and that you will speak through me today and that you will anoint your word, Lord, and bring revelation and cause our faith to rise up big today, Lord. In Jesus' name, we give you all the praise for everything that would be said and done. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen, somebody. Well, we are in a series right now called How to Pray, and this is the fourth part in that series. And today, I'm going to speak about, part four is called Pray the Devil Away. We should have a graphic there that has that on the screen. You should have that one. It says part four, Pray the Devil Away. And I want to start out here in Ephesians chapter 6. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now that's describing demonic spirits and telling us that we are in a spiritual warfare. Whether you realize it or not, you're in a spiritual warfare and you have an enemy. And that enemy is continually trying to oppose you and he's trying to hinder you. And he's behind many of the problems that we face. The enemy's behind it. But God has given us mighty weapons so that we can overcome every attack and strategy of the enemy against us. And that's why it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. In other words, don't give up. Don't give up. Persevere in prayer. The God's Word translation says, use every kind of prayer and request there is. Because we've been learning that there's different kinds of prayer. There's different ways to pray. The Message Bible says, in the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Let me tell you, if you're going to be victorious over the enemy and overcome every attack and every hindrance, you have to be given to pray. Prayer has to be a part of your life. That's why God's Word tells us in 1 Peter 4, verse 7, since we are approaching the end of all things, be intentional be purposeful and self-controlled so that you can be given to prayer. Say, God wants me to be given to prayer. The contemporary English version says, be sensible enough to pray. Be sensible enough to pray. Please, when you're facing a challenge, be sensible enough to pray. And don't just pray when you have a problem. Let prayer be a way of life. Because when, let me tell you, when you understand the power of prayer and the connection between prayer and walking in victory and walking in blessings, you will be compelled and motivated to pray. You will say, man, I must pray. I must pray. I must pray. I must make prayer my priority. Whatever else I do, I must make time to pray. The Apostle Paul realized the apathy of most people and how people get distracted by other things and neglect to pray. And the Apostle Paul, he taught a lot about prayer. Why is prayer so necessary? Because we have an enemy, the devil, demonic spirits that continually are looking for opportunities to harass us and to hinder us and to attack us. And if we neglect to pray, the devil will succeed in ensnaring us. Prayer is a powerful weapon against the enemy to be able to stop and overcome his every attack. Prayer is God's appointed way for us to obtain things. And the reason that we lack anything in life is because of a neglect of prayer. I'm going to say it again. The reason you lack anything in life is a neglect of prayer. James 4 verse 2 says, the reason you don't have what you want is that you don't ask God for it. The reason you don't have what you want is you don't ask God. The secret behind the powerlessness and the poverty of the average Christian is a neglect of prayer. The secret behind the powerlessness of the average preacher is a neglect of prayer. Many Christians say, why is it, Pastor Steve, I seem to make so little progress in my Christian life? God says, neglect of prayer. You don't have because you don't ask. Amen. Why do I struggle so much, Pastor Steve, with temptation and sin and worldliness? God says, neglect of prayer. Pray that you do not enter temptation. Prayer occupied a prominent place, played a very important role in the life of Jesus. There's so many scriptures tell us how Jesus prayed continually. Mark 1 verse 35, Jesus got up long before daylight. While it was still dark, he left the house while it was dark and made his way to a secluded place to give himself to prayer. Matthew 14, 23, when the crowd dispersed, he climbed the mountain so that he could be by himself and pray. He stayed there alone late into the night. In Luke 6, verse 12, he went out into the mountains to pray, and he prayed all night. In Luke 5, 16, Jesus often slipped away from them and went into the wilderness to pray. Let me tell you, the words pray and prayer are used more than 25 times in connection with the Lord. In the brief record of his life in the four Gospels, prayer took a lot of Jesus' time. He devoted a lot of time to pray. And a person who doesn't spend time in prayer cannot really be properly called a follower of Jesus. I'm going to say that again. A person who doesn't spend time praying cannot truly call himself a follower of Jesus. Because a follower of Jesus does what Jesus does. And if Jesus prayed, then I need to pray. And can I tell you the good news? Jesus is still praying for you today. The scripture says in Hebrews 7:25, so he is able to save fully from now throughout eternity everyone who comes to God through him, because he lives to pray continually for them. Say, Jesus is praying for me. Hebrews 8 verse 34. Who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus the anointed one, for he gave his life for us, and even more than that, He has conquered death, and he is now risen, exalted, enthroned by God at the right hand. So how could he possibly condemn us, since he is continually praying for our triumph? I love that, man. Jesus is praying for my triumph, for my victory, for my success. He's on my side. He's for me. He's not against me. We sang it today. Jesus is continually praying for you. He never stopped praying. And if we're going to be like Jesus, then we too must be people of prayer. We spend time in prayer. We give ourselves to pray. It's a daily thing. Are you with me? The men that followed Jesus, the men who became apostles, they regarded prayer as their most important priority. When the early church started growing and their daily responsibilities increased, this was their response. In Acts 6, it says the 12 apostles called a meeting of all the believers, and they told them, "It is not advantageous for us to be pulled away from the word of God to wait on tables. We want you to carefully select from among yourselves 7 godly men. Make sure they are honorable, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and we will give them the responsibility of this crucial ministry of serving. This will enable us to give our full attention to prayer and preaching the word of God." Do you know my priority as your pastor is to pray for you and to preach the word of God to you? That is my number one, because that is what will change your life more than anything else. And I want you to know that I pray for you every day. I pray for you every day. I pray that God's will be done in your life. I pray that you'll be saturated with blessings. I pray that God will protect you. I pray for you continually. I pray for my children. I pray for my grandchildren. Whenever I pray for myself, I pray for them and I pray for you. From what Paul, thank you, welcome, dear Minnie. And you praying for me, right? From what Paul wrote in his letters to both churches and individuals, it's evident that the Apostle Paul spent much of his time praying for them. In Romans 1 verse 9, Paul said, "I pray for you continually and at all times." In Ephesians 1:15, he said, "I pray for you constantly." In Colossians 1 verse 9, we've not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's one thing I pray for you, that you would know God's will, that you would have spiritual wisdom and understanding. In 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 10, night and day we pray earnestly for you. 2 Timothy 1 verse 3, "How I thank God for you, Timothy. I pray for you every day." Now, let me tell you, I could go on and on. There's so many scriptures where Paul talks about praying for people and asking them to pray for him. I'm asking you to please pray for me, because I'm praying for you. Amen. All the mighty people in the Bible were people of prayer. I encourage you to give yourself to prayer. It's essential. If you don't want to be overcome by weaknesses and indulgences and drunkenness and the cares of this life, pray. The Bible says we got to pray so we will be ready to meet the Lord. In Luke 21, look what it says. "Take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly." What day is that? That's the day of Jesus' return. Let me tell you, Jesus is coming back. I don't know when, but he's coming back, because he said he was. And I'll tell you something, Jesus does everything he says. He says, "For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." The Bible says we've got to be watching and we've got to be praying. Now, there's different kinds of prayer. And we're talking about, there's 10 different kinds of prayer. There's the prayer of fellowship, number one. You're just talking to God, fellowshipping with God. Number two, there's the prayer of worship and thanksgiving. You're not asking God for anything. You're just thanking him and worshiping him. Number three, there's the prayer of consecration, like Jesus prayed, "Lord, not my will be done, let your will be done." Number four, there's the prayer of petition. That's the prayer where you pray and ask God for whatever requests. That's how you pray to obtain whatever you need from the Lord. Then there's the prayer of committal. That's when you cast your cares, you give all your worries. We've covered all these in the first three sessions of this series. Then there's the prayer of agreement. I'm going to talk about that today. The prayer of binding and loosing. praying with authority. I'm going to talk about that today. Then there's praying in the Spirit, which is most of my prayer time. Then there's the prayer of intercession, and then united prayer. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, we're going to focus today on the prayer of binding and loosing, which is praying and using authority. But we're going to start out very quickly with the prayer of agreement, because they're both found in the same passage. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, it says, assuredly, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by our Father in heaven. Now, when two people agree in prayer, it's more powerful than just praying by myself. The word agree means to come in harmony. When two people come in harmony and we agree together, the Bible says if any two on earth will agree concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them. This is one of the most tremendous dynamic ways of praying God has given us. It's one of the best ways of praying for somebody else or praying with someone else, because you might be mighty in prayer by yourself, but you are much mightier when somebody joins you and prays with you. And that's what we do here every Sunday, really. When we have our prayer time, we invite people to come forward and we have our prayer partners, and they pray and agree with you in prayer. Deuteronomy 32 verse 30 says, how can one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? One shall put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. In other words, two people in agreement are more powerful than two people on their own. Never be ashamed to ask someone to agree with you in prayer. Make sure the person you're asking to pray and agree, make sure they're in agreement with you. Are you with me? See, the more you develop an active prayer life, you'll find people are going to come to you. They're going to come and ask you to pray for them, because people are looking for someone who can tap into the supernatural power of God. One of the most powerful forms of agreement is when husbands and wives, you can pray the prayer of agreement together. Jill and I do this all the time. We did this with the sale of our house. We agree our house is sold in the name of Jesus. We agree, thank you, Lord, for bringing a buyer. We agree, thank you, Lord, that new condo is ours. We stand in agreement all the time. You can change things through prayer. And if you say, well, I don't have a husband, I don't have a wife, well, you've got a whole family of God right here who will stand and agree with you. Amen. Move on for me, Abigail. Thank you so much. Now I want to talk about prayer number 7, the prayer of binding and loosing. Because Jesus said in Matthew 18:18, assuredly I say to you. I always love it when Jesus says assuredly, because that means it's a sure thing. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And the New Living Translation says, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Do you know that God has to permit whatever you permit? Whatever you permit in your life, God has to permit. Whatever you forbid will be forbidden. This is talking about exercising authority in prayer. God has given you authority over the devil and over demons. Through Jesus Christ, you have authority over all the power of the enemy. You got authority to bind him and forbid him. Luke 10, verse 19, Jesus said, now you understand, I have imparted to you my authority to trample over his kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power that Satan possesses, and absolutely nothing will harm you as you walk in this authority. Now notice that. Jesus said, nothing, I've given you authority, and nothing will harm you as you walk in this authority. If you don't walk in this authority, then you're going to get walked over instead of getting walked. You're going to get walked on instead of walking upon, right? You've got to walk in this authority. You've got to use the authority God has given you. If you don't use this authority and bind the enemy's attacks against you, then God will permit whatever you permit. See, when sickness tries to come on me, I don't just say, oh, I'm so sick. I say, hey. Sickness, you're not allowed in my body. Jesus took my sicknesses, he bore my diseases, and by his wounds, I've been healed. Healing belongs to me. So what do? I forbid sickness to come upon me. I resist you in the name of Jesus. I will not permit sickness in my body. When the kids were little, I wouldn't allow sickness. Robin got one chicken pox. And when I was a kid, I had chicken pox twice. They told me you can't have it twice, but I had it twice. She got one chicken pox. And I saw that man, and I got it and laid in hands. And how old was she? 2 years old. Prayed for her. What happened? No more dots. Only one dot. Never. No more chicken dots. Just one chicken pox. But you see, we didn't just say, "Oh well, everybody gets the chicken pox. Everybody gets the measles. Everybody gets the flu." I don't get the flu. You're looking at someone, "I don't get the flu, I don't get the chicken pox, I don't get COVID, I don't get nothing like that," because I believe that Jesus took my sicknesses, and I believe that I got authority, and when sickness tries to come to my house, I bind it and forbid it and do not permit it in Jesus' name. Now you may think, "Pastor Steve, who do you think you are?" I'm nothing, but Jesus in me is all powerful. You know, when Jill and I went to Bible college, back in 1982, were we 18? Yeah, I was eight. We were 18 years old. We went to Bible College, and Rhema Bible College, and it was founded by Kenneth E. Hagin. And Kenneth E. Hagin had many visitations of the Lord. He actually saw the Lord 9 different times. He had 9 different visions in his life where he saw the Lord, like I'm talking to you now. And he wrote a book called The Believer's Authority. And he told about this one time he had a vision, and Jesus appeared to him. And Jesus was talking to him about the authority that we have as Christians. And he was listening to the Lord. And then at the end of the vision, this little evil spirit, it looked like a little monkey. You know, there are different evil spirits. There are different levels, different categories. That's why it talks about principalities and powers. And this was like a little demon, looked like a little monkey. And it ran between him and Jesus in this vision. And it caused something like a dark cloud, like a smoke cloud, to come between him and Jesus. And then he started jumping up and down, this little demon, jumping up and down and shouting, "Yakety yak, yakety yak, yakety yak, yakety yak, yakety yak, yakety yak." And Kenneth Hagin said, "I couldn't see Jesus because of the smoke, and I couldn't hear what he was saying." And he thought to himself, I don't understand why Jesus doesn't do something about this." And finally he said, "In the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, I command you to stop." And instantly that little demon hit the floor. And that black cloud disappeared. And the demon lay there whimpering and trembling. Wouldn't even look at Kenneth Hagin. And Hagin said, "Now shut up and get out of here in the name of Jesus." And that little demon ran out the door. And Kenneth Hagin thought to himself, "Why didn't Jesus do something about that? Why did Jesus permit that?" And the Lord knew what Kenneth Hagin was thinking. You know, God knows what you think, right? The Lord knew what he was thinking. And the Lord said to him, Jesus said to Kenneth Hagin, "If you hadn't done something about that, I couldn't have." And Kenneth Hagin was astonished. He said, "Lord, I didn't hear you right. You said, if I didn't do something about it, you wouldn't have." Jesus said, no. "If you hadn't done something about it, I couldn't have." And Kenneth Hagin said, "No, Lord, I must have heard you wrong. You meant I wouldn't have." The Lord said, "No, I couldn't have. Lord, no, you meant I wouldn't have." And finally he said, Kenneth Hagin said to the Lord, "Lord, I can't accept that. I've never heard anything like that in my life. I need you to prove that to me from the Bible with at least 3 scriptures." You know, the Bible says everything should be established in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. So, you know, you don't just take one isolated scripture. Said, "Lord, you're going to have to show me 3 scriptures in the Bible to show that that's true, because I've never heard anything like that." And Jesus just smiled at him and said, "I'll give you 4 scriptures." And Kenneth Hagin said, "Lord, you know, I've read the New Testament 150 times. And if there's anything like that in there, I've never seen it." Jesus said, son, there's a lot in there that you don't know. Not one single time in the New Testament does it ever tell you to pray that God would do anything against the devil. In fact, the Lord said to him, to do so is to waste your time, because the believer is told to do something about the devil. And the reason is because you have authority over him. The church must use the authority that belongs to it. The least member of the body of Christ has just as much authority over the devil as anybody else. And unless believers do something about the devil, nothing will be done. Do you know that if you don't bind the enemy, and if you don't forbid it, and if you permit it, God will permit it. Jesus said to Kenneth Hagin, I've done all I'm going to do about the devil. Until the angel comes down from heaven and uses the chain and binds him up and casts him into the bottomless pit, I've done everything I'm going to do. I've defeated him. I've given you authority. And so Jesus gave these four scriptures to Kenneth Hagin to back up what he was saying, and I'm going to share them with you. The first one is in Matthew 28, verse 18. It says, Jesus came and he told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, notice Jesus said, I've been given all authority. Therefore, you go. In other words, Jesus immediately delegated the authority that he had won to the church, to his body, because Jesus can only work through the church on this earth. Do you know that you are Jesus' hands? You are his voice. You are his feet. He can only work through you. Just like your head cannot exercise any authority except through your body, the same is true. Jesus exercises authority on this earth through his body, the church. The second scripture that the Lord gave to Kenneth Hagin was in Mark 16, verse 17. It says, and these miracle signs will accompany those who believe. They will drive out demons in the power of my name. Say, I've got the authority to drive out demons in the power of the name of Jesus. The first sign that is mentioned that follows believers is they will drive out demons by the power of Jesus' name. Amen. You have authority to drive the devil out. You have authority to lay hands on people who are sick and they will be healed. We see Peter and John using their authority in Acts chapter 3. They were on their way to church, to the temple. They were going to go to a prayer meeting. And they saw a lame man being carried and placed at the entrance of the temple. And as Peter and John passed by, he asked them for some money. And so they replied in Acts 3:6. Peter said, we don't have any money for you, but I'll give you something else. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to walk. You talk about authority. The Passion Bible says, I command you by the power of the name of Jesus Christ to stand up and walk. And the Bible says, Peter took the lame man by the hand and pulled him to his feet. And as he did, the man's feet and ankle bones were healed and strengthened, so that he came up with a leap, stood there for a moment, began walking, and then walking, leaping, praising God, he went into the temple with them. I like that, man. I like someone be, so, can you imagine you're on your way to church and someone's sitting outside, there's a lame person, they're sitting outside and they ask you for money and you say, I don't have any money, but I'll tell you what, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And you pull him up and bring him into church with you and he's praising God in the front row. That's what I call church, family. Amen. When Jesus was on the earth, man, he demonstrated authority over the devil. He healed every kind of sickness. He drove demons out of people. He set people free. In Luke chapter 4, verse 32, it says his teaching stunned and dazed them, for he spoke with penetrating words that manifested great authority. Do you know, that was one of the things that really upset the religious people, because Jesus spoke with such authority. They were like, who does he think he is? When you start being bold and knowing who you are in Christ, people might misunderstand and think, who do you think you are, Pastor Steve? I'm nothing, but Jesus in me, he is everything, man. And he's given me authority. And the Bible says in verse 33, in the congregation, there was a demonized man who screamed with a loud voice, "Hey, you go away. Leave us alone. I know who you are. You're Jesus of Nazareth. You're God's Holy One. Why are you coming to meddle with us? You've come to destroy us already." And just then the demon hurled the man down on the floor in front of them all. But Jesus rebuked the demon, "Be quiet and come out of him." And the demon came out of him without causing any more harm. And it says, great astonishment swept over the people. And they said among themselves, "What kind of man is this who has such power and such authority? With a mere word, he commands the demons to come out, and they obey him." And the reports about Jesus spread like wildfire through every community in the surrounding region. And after leaving the meeting that day, Jesus went into Simon's house, where Simon's mother-in-law was sick with a high fever, and the disciples begged Jesus to help her. And so it says Jesus stood over her and he rebuked the fever, and she was instantly healed. And then she got up, she started serving them. And at sunset, the people brought all those who were sick to Jesus to be healed. And Jesus laid his hands on them one by one, and they were all healed of different ailments and of different of every kind of sickness, every kind of disease. Demons came out of many of them. The demons knew that Jesus was the anointed one, so they shouted while coming out, "You are the Messiah, you are the Son of El Shaddai." But Jesus commanded them, he rebuked them, and he commanded them to be silent. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, that's how he was, man. He healed people, set people free, cast out demons. Today, most churches don't even know what a demon is. They don't even talk about demons. I don't know where they think all the demons went. They're still here, family, and they're still harassing people. Many churches today don't even know how to deal with a demon. I mean, they'd run out the door if a demon showed up. But you don't have to. You have authority over him. I've been here, and we had a lady come to church. Every time she'd come to church, as soon as we started singing, she'd run to the bathroom, start vomiting in the bathroom. She'd get violently sick. Sometimes she'd drive on the property. She'd get sick by the time she got on the property. She was fine until she got to church. "I don't understand it. What is it?" "So it's a demon." I had him come forward. I laid hands on her, prayed over her. Bang, she hit the floor, started screaming, came out. She was free. I spoke to her afterwards, found out. She was raped by four men when she was 16 years old, and that's where the demons came in, and she'd been suffering all these years, and she was set free that day. She was set free that day. Matthew 8, verse 16 says, "That evening, many demon-possessed were brought to Jesus, and he cast out the evil spirits with a simple command, and he healed all the sick." Do you know the Apostle Paul did the same thing Jesus did? In Acts 16, verse 16, one day, they were going down to the place of prayer beside the river, and they met a demon-possessed slave girl who was a fortune teller. Do you know fortune tellers are possessed by demons? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Don't look at me like that. I just read it to you. Fortune tellers operate by demonic spirits. And demonic spirits watch you, and they know everything about you. So when you go to a fortune teller, and they say, "Oh," and they start telling you things, and you're like, "Oh, how do they know that?" You're listening to demons talking to you. I'd rather listen to the Holy Ghost. Come when Prophet Ed Trout is here. Let him prophesy over you. They met this demon-possessed slave girl who was a fortune teller, and she earned much money for her masters, and she followed behind us shouting, "These men are servants of God, and they've come to tell you how to have your sins forgiven." She's demon-possessed, and she's saying this. And it went on day after day until Paul, in great distress, he turned and he spoke to the demon within her. "I command you in the name of Jesus, come out of her." And instantly, that demon left her. They ended up getting thrown in jail for that one. Her masters were so mad, they had Paul and Silas thrown into jail and beaten. And that's when they started praising God, and the jail shook and all the chains came off. Jesus said we can do the things that he did. Did you know that? In John 14, verse 12, "The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. For I will do whatever you ask me when you ask it in my name. And this is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to him. Ask anything in my name, and I will do it for you." Now, in this particular verse, the word "ask" really, more accurately, should be translated as whatever you require, call for, claim, or demand. We're not demanding from God. Because this isn't really talking about praying to God. It's talking about doing the works that Jesus did. And Jesus was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. And he said that he'll do the same things through us when we demand it in his name. When we demand it in the name of Jesus, he said it will be done. See, when we are demanding Satan to obey. We are demanding the will of God to be carried out on God's behalf. We are demanding circumstances to line up with what with God's will and with what God's word says. See, when I pray for someone who's sick on Jesus' behalf, I demand the sickness to go. I don't pray, "Now, Lord, if it's your will to heal this person, let them be healed, Lord. But if not, Lord, if not, we understand you move in mysterious ways." You ain't never going to get nobody healed with that kind of prayer. No, you know how I pray for people? Sickness, go in the name of Jesus with authority. Amen. When you get bold and you demand, "Devil, I take authority over you. I forbid you. You'll not put sickness on my children's sickness. Get out of here." When you get bold with the enemy, instead of Mickey Mousing around with the devil, he'll pay attention to you. When you find a circumstance, ask yourself, "What is God's will? What would Jesus do? What is God's will in this situation? I know God's will doesn't want my kids to have chicken pox. I know God's will is not to have this, and I'll just take authority over it." Jesus even exercised authority over the nature. When his disciples were out in the boat and they were crossing the Sea of Galilee, and suddenly this big storm arose and the waves were crashing in the boat, and Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat, and the disciples woke him up. They were panicking. They said, "Master, we're going to drown, man. Don't you care? We're going to die. We're going to drown." And the Bible says in Luke chapter 8, with great authority, Jesus rebuked the howling wind and the surging waves, and instantly they stopped. They became smooth as glass. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you so fearful? Have you lost your faith in me?" Shocked and shaken, they said with amazement to one another, "Who is this man who has authority over the wind and the waves?" And they obey him. The other day we were at the beach, and it was a big storm. My son's just celebrated their 10th anniversary, and they had a wedding renewal, and we went down with all the grandkids. We were in town, and we only had one day there, so we want to go to the beach, and these clouds, dark clouds are rolling. So my wife's out there rebuking the weather, "Clouds, rain, you better get away." My kids thought she was nuts. "What are you doing, Mom?" "We do this kind of stuff all the time, man." And you know what? All the clouds moved out the way, and the sunshine came through, and we had a great day on the beach the whole day, right? If there is a storm in your life, I'm not talking rain. I'm talking about a storm that comes against your finances, comes against your health, comes against your marriage. You got to demand that it cease. You got to use your authority and speak to it. Because let me tell you, all around us, there are people suffering. Sicknesses, addictions, depression, lack of finance, fear, unemployment, all kinds of things. They don't realize this is the devil at work. And often they just lie down and just let him take control. You got to remember, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Say, "My struggle is not against people. My problem is not caused by people." Let me tell you, your problem is really not your boss, your employer, your staff, your clients, the government. Your problem really, your enemy is the devil. That's the enemy. A lot of people don't realize this. We got to take authority over our enemy. And if we don't, then it won't be done. Amen. God won't exercise authority on this earth except through the body of Christ. The third scripture that the Lord gave to Kenneth Hagin is James 4, verse 7. "So then surrender to God, stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will turn and run away from you." Now the devil, let me tell you, he is powerful. He ain't no joke. But he is scared. He is scared of the name of Jesus. When you say in the name of Jesus is Jesus standing behind you, man. He said, whatever you demand, I'll make sure that it's done. Amen. You got authority. You got to resist him. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, this is the fourth scripture that the Lord gave to Kenneth Hagin. It says, be well balanced and always alert, because your enemy, the devil, roams around incessantly like a roaring lion, looking for his prey to devour. Take a decisive stand against him and resist his every attack with strong, vigorous faith. For you know that your believing brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing the same kind of trouble that you endure. When you think that you're the only one that's facing trouble, realize everybody faces trouble. Realize that the enemy tries to come against us all. But the Bible says that he goes around like a roaring lion, looking for whom he can devour. The enemy's looking for who he can devour. But if you resist him, if you take authority over him, then he can't hurt you. Then he can't devour you. That's what the scripture is telling us. How do you resist the devil? By speaking out in the name of Jesus. Speaking to him in the name of Jesus. God's word is our sword against the enemy. Jesus used the word of God to overcome the enemy when the devil came to attack him in Matthew chapter 4. And he said, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. What did Jesus say? It is written, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If you be the Son of God, throw yourself down from the pinnacle. Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. If you will fall down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Jesus used the word of God. The word of God is like a sword. So there's so many Christians today, they're being devoured by the devil. They don't realize the attack is coming from the enemy. They don't understand how to resist him with their God-given authority. They say, Pastor Steve, I don't understand. Why did God let this happen? I don't understand. Why did God let this happen? Whatever we permit, God must permit. Stop waiting for God to change the circumstance, because God is waiting for you to use your authority. And the way that you use your authority is with your words. You've got to speak to that problem. Speak to that fear. Speak to that attack. Speak to that sickness. Speak to that lack. No sickness. You don't come in my house. I won't permit it. I resist you in the name of Jesus. I do this all the time. When I was in the army, because you know, I was in the army for 3 months. I was fully trained after that. A lethal machine. In South Africa, when I was growing up, we had what is called conscription. When you came out of school, everybody went to the army. All men, not women, all men. And I was a U.S. citizen, and so they exempted me. I was happy about that. And then 7 years later, I was 25 and married. They changed the law, and they recalled me. And so I went in for 3 months, and Jill was at home with the two little ones. We had Robin, and we had Nadine, and I was 25. So Robin was about 5 or 6, right? Yeah, she was like 6, and Nadine was like 4, around there. Close enough. So this was our first home that we just built, small home, and we didn't have any walling around. Now, in South Africa, everybody has walls. They have barbed wire fencing. They have security. I mean, it's dangerous. And it wasn't as bad in those years. It's much worse now. But we didn't have a wall yet. We didn't have money for that. And I did the yard myself. And so I was gone for 3 months, and there was all this construction taking place around us. And one day Jill came home, and she had the two kids, and there were muddy footprints going down the passage. Someone had been in the house. And that night she was sitting by herself with the two kids, and suddenly she had this tremendous fear. I'm talking about fear that is debilitating, fear that... You ever had fear come on you where you can't even, you can feel it. You can feel it. And what does she do? She said, fear, I resist you in the name of Jesus. You get out of here. And just like that, all that fear went away. It was like it just disappeared. And the peace of God came upon her. I know Pastor Theo tells often when he used to sell houses, my pastor, Pastor Theo, used to be a realtor. And he said often people would sign to buy a house, they'd sign the deal, and they had 24 hours in those days. I don't know if it works that way here, but they had 24 hours they could still cancel. And he said, often they'd call him and say they want to cancel. And he was saying, now listen, let me ask you, please go take one more look at the house. And just think about it. And just call me later. Just think it over a little bit longer. And then when he put the phone down, he'd pray. And he'd take authority over the devil. And he'd bind him from stealing his sale. And he said 90% of the time, they'd go ahead with the sale. They'd come back and say, yeah, you're right. We're going to go ahead with the sale. He said that happened to him often. There are things that go on in this earth that God has already declared to be unlawful. And if God has declared them to be unlawful, then why are they happening? The reason is because the authority on this planet has been given to us. And we've got to stand up and forbid Satan from operating in our lives. And instead of using that authority, many people, they let the devil bind them instead of binding him. They seem to think they can't do anything about the attack of the enemy. Well, what can I do, Pastor? You've got authority. You can do something about it. Every believer's got authority over the devil. You've got to declare his works unlawful in your life. You can pray the devil away. You can stop Satan and bind him. But as long as Christians are willing to tolerate the devil's works, he will continue to operate in their life. God's declared it lawful for you to be healed. He's declared it lawful for you to be free. He's declared it lawful for you to be financially prosperous. He's declared it lawful for you to live in joy and peace. He's declared it lawful for you to be victorious and successful. God's already declared it. God's declared it lawful for you to get your prayers answered. He's declared it lawful for you to live a long life. God's declared it lawful for you to have a happy home. But you've got to bind anything that tries to challenge that. Because the devil is a thief, man, and he will try and steal from you. If you let him steal from you, he is a thief. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Do you know whenever you see destruction, that's the work of the devil. Whenever you see stealing, that's the work of the devil. Whenever you see killing, that's the work of the devil. Whenever you see abundant life, that's the work of Jesus. It's easy to tell the difference between the work of the devil and the work of Jesus, because anytime anything that would steal from me, destroy me, or kill me, that's the devil. Anything that would bless and give me abundant life, that's Jesus. Are you with me? You got authority to stop the enemy. You can bind him from operating in your life. Amen. Jill and I did this with the sale of our home. I keep referring to it, but it's something recent that happened to me. We prayed. We asked God to bring a buyer. We thanked God. We praised God. We spoke in faith. We did all those things I've taught you. And then when the sale of our home fell through, the first buyer, and we thought it looked like we may lose it, what did we do? We bound the devil. Devil, you're not going to steal the sale of our home. You're not going to steal this condo that the Lord's guided us to. We took authority over him, didn't we? And here we are, 40 days out of moving into our new condo. We're looking for help packing up, by the way. Listen, don't tolerate the work of the enemy in your life. Bind the devil and loose the angels of God. Do you know you can loose the angels of God in your life? Kenneth Hagin tells a story how one time the Lord spoke to him and told him not to pray and ask him for money. Just command the money that he needs to come. Because the Lord said, whatever money you need is not up in heaven, it's already on the earth. But Satan's trying to withhold it from you. So God told Kenneth Hagin to bind the devil and command the money to come. Bind Satan's influence over your finance and loose the money that you need in the name of Jesus. Sometimes we just pray God to do everything for us. And some put all the responsibility on God. But God often is waiting for us to take our authority over the enemy, over our circumstances. Because God will do his part, but we're going to do our part as well. Amen? Hebrews 1 verse 14. I'm almost done. Hebrews 1 verse 14. It says, what role then do angels have? The angels are spirit messengers sent by God to serve those who are going to be saved. Do you know that angels have been sent to serve you? Do you know the Bible says one day we will judge the angels? That's what the scriptures say. Do you know that there is no comparison to your value to God and an angel? Because God created you to be like him, and an angel was created to serve you. The Living Bible says it like this. The angels are only spirit messengers sent out to help and care for those who are to receive his salvation. That's you and me. Do you know that you have angels with you everywhere you go? Angels are sent to help you, to serve you. We see this often in the book of Acts, where angels came and helped and delivered Peter, brought him out of the jail. Angel appeared to him. Peter was asleep in jail. Angel's like, wake up, Peter. Come on, we're out of here, boy. Open the gate, and he just followed the angel. You can read about it. So you got to say, I bind every demonic spirit that is trying to interfere and stop my business and my finances, and I loose the angels of God. Angels go and cause the money to come in the name of Jesus. God, come to me. You can release the angels of God. Kenneth Hagin said he did this with, he started doing it with great results. He would just release the angels to bring whatever money he needed and just claim it. See, often we're praying for God to do something where we should be using our authority to bind the work of the enemy in our life. Amen. Did you get something out of this today? Say this with me. Say, in the name of Jesus, I've been given authority. I'm the body of Christ. I'm seated with Christ. All things under my feet. I have authority over the devil, demons. Jesus said, if I speak to the mountain, it'll be removed. If I resist the devil, he must flee. Whatever I bind will be bound. So I speak to every devil. I speak to every demon. I bind your efforts against me. You will not hurt me. You will not steal from me. You will not harass me. I declare I am victorious. I am healthy. I am free. I am prosperous. I take authority over every demon attacking my finances. I command you, lose my finances. I release the angels to bring finances to me. I take authority over sickness. I resist sickness in the name of Jesus. I do not allow you in my body in the name of Jesus. Say, I resist COVID. I don't allow you in my body. I thank you, Lord. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I take authority over every attack against my marriage, against my family, against my children. I bind every demonic attack against me in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that I'm free, I'm blessed, all my needs are met. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen, amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, man, I sure needed to hear that today. Come on, Pastor Jill. I'm done.
Man, my kind of preaching. I tell you what, it's life-changing.
Well, it's life-changing our life.
It's life-changing. I mean, you talk about things like the weather, and that was funny because we were on the beach, and Robin was going into the ocean. She's like, I'll go... she's like, are you praying? I said, I'm just taking authority. I'm taking authority. They say that lightning's heading this way. I said, get away from here, lightning, in the name of Jesus. Now, that's minor because it doesn't change your life, but there are things that will change your life. And if you don't stand against them, the devil will get the better of you, right? And so, I had a little health thing this week on Friday morning, early morning, apparently, I'm told. I woke Pastor Steve up with a shout. I'll just tell it. I woke him up. He heard me shout, and then I collapsed, and then I hit my head on the side table, and they landed up calling 911. I didn't recover until almost at the hospital. I spent the whole day, night there. And, I recognize the reality of things. I'm not foolish enough to just say, oh, well, you know, it doesn't matter, nothing. I talk to the doctor, have the tests that need to be done, know what you're facing, know what you're up against, what are your brain waves saying. But at the end of the day, I'm going to stand in the authority that God has given me. Amen? Because what's the alternative? The alternative is to just give in to whatever comes your way. Whatever weakness, whatever sickness. Oh, you know, they diagnosed my child with this. Stand and use your authority in everything. And it's the same. Now, this is a time in the service where we give. use your authority over your finances. And not just, I know Nadine, our daughter, she's made a point of, I know she's done it in the past and I know she's doing it now, and she doesn't do it to be seen, but sometimes she will increase her tithe because she says, I'm believing God to earn such and such. So she stretches her faith, she uses authority, and then she starts to tithe in accordance with it. And before you know it, she got called in. The first time she did this, she was working as a nurse. She was a young nurse, 3 years in nursing. And she started tithing way beyond what, there's a level. You go up in increments when you're in nursing. So they opened this new position where she was, and they wanted to bring in four nurses into this, and they brought in some senior nurses. And so because they brought in some senior nurses, they had to bring them in at their level of earning. And so they said, we're going to have to jump you right through all these levels and put you at this level of earning. Now, you might say, oh, well, that's lucky. And that's not lucky at all. That's like purposely exercising your faith to a certain area, not just her tithe. She did it with her tithe. She was believing God. I believe I earn such and such, therefore I tithe such and such. And she spoke that way. This is what I'm believing God for. And before you knew it, it was against all odds to be at 3 years, the three-year level as a nurse, and be on that salary level. And you know, once you're at that salary level, now you go to another hospital, you don't go back down. You move up from there, right? So I'm just using that as an example. Use your authority when it comes to finances. Amen? I'm going to read one scripture here from Proverbs 11. It says, give freely and become more wealthy. Isn't that like contrary to what you would hear? Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper, and those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Say this. Say, as I give freely, I become more wealthy. If I'm stingy, no, say this. Say, stingy people lose everything. Not us. The generous, say, I am generous and I will prosper. And as I refresh others, I myself am refreshed. Thank you, Lord. We're going to go ahead and give. Thank you. I just was telling Pastor Steve this morning, because we're on a group text with some of our ushers, and we had a number of people saying, with the summer, I'm away for this week and that. And I said, what really blesses me, there's a number of people that are on reoccurring giving online.
People who give even when they're out of town, even when they're on vacation.
Yeah, so he said, so-and-so is not going to be in church this week. And I said, well, they already tithe this morning online. And that's a real blessing as a church.
Amen.
Because it just keeps everything
steady. We appreciate your faithful giving. We really do.
Yes, we do.
You know, Jill's talking about what happened on Friday. And I mean, it was scary for me. It's one thing when you pray for everybody else, but it's your own wife or your own self. And I sleep with earplugs in.
And he's like dead, a dead
sleeper. My wife snores a little bit. And so I put these earplugs in. And I usually, and I'm a heavy sleeper, and I don't wake up at 7 a.m. every day. And so I heard her wailing. I heard this wailing. And I woke up, and she was standing next to the bed with her eyes closed. I don't know if it was a nightmare. And she was wailing, and the next minute she just passed out. And I jumped out of the bed, and then I couldn't get her back. I couldn't get her to regain consciousness. I shook her, and thank God, all I knew to do is pray. I started praying for her. I started taking authority. I started taking authority over that. Started praying in the spirit. And then I called my daughter Nadine, who's a nurse, and FaceTime with her, and showed, I said, look, Mommy, what must I do? Look, Mommy. And she said, call 911. So I called 911. We had the fire trucks. I mean, I had 8 EMTs in my house. I don't know what they thought. They came to my house. We had all 7 grandchildren running around the ground floor. And she was laying out. And they got her back, but she couldn't remember her name. She couldn't remember what day it was. She couldn't remember the grandchildren being there. And they took her away to St. Mary's. They wouldn't let me go because of COVID. I couldn't even go in the hospital. And so what am I doing? I'm just praying. I'm taking authority and I'm praying. And so thank God she is good. And we're trusting God that that will never happen. And we're believing God for her. Complete recovery.
No matter what it is that comes against you, you've got no option. We're going forward with faith.
So, you know, we have things that come against us as well. And what we're trying to say to you is that you do not have to just lie down and say, oh, well, God has given you authority to do something about it, to speak against it, to pray and to trust Him, and things change. Amen? Amen. So thank you so much. Lord, we just thank you. Ushers, did you already pass the offering? Lord, I want to thank you for your goodness. I want to thank you for your faithfulness. I want to thank you, Lord, for the authority you've given us. I want to thank you for the power of prayer, Lord. I pray for every person here now, Father. Whatever they may be facing, I take authority over every attack of the enemy. And I thank you for victory. I thank you for provision. I thank you for protection. I thank you for healing. I thank you for freedom. I give you all the praise. In Jesus' name. Won't you bow your head for a moment? Just bow your head. Just close your eyes. Before we go home, I just want to right now, I feel like I need to give an opportunity. There's anyone here, if you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right between you and the Lord, if you were to die today, you say, Pastor Steve, I'm not sure what would happen to me if I died today. Let me tell you the good news. You can be sure. You can know that all is right between you and God. You can know that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. Heaven is real. Heaven's a real place, and hell is real too. But you can walk out of here this morning knowing that all is right and all is well between you and the Lord, knowing that every mistake that you've ever committed is forgiven and washed away. And you can walk out of here knowing when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. I did a memorial service for Joe Deltego, Shermer, and Naomi's dad, and he was a firefighter, and he came to this church. He gave his heart to the Lord, and he took his own life at the fire station. And the only thing that gave me peace and comfort is I know where he is. I know that he's in heaven right now, rejoicing. What would happen to you if you were to die today? I want to pray for you. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure that all is right between me and God. Pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you right now, would you please just lift your hand up. Just raise it up. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised up, then you're included in this prayer this morning. Just lift it up high. Thank you. Thank you, Wolf. All right. Praise the Lord. God bless you. We're going to see you next Sunday. Next Sunday, I'm speaking about supercharged prayer, supercharging your prayer. I hope to see you. I hope that you'll invite someone. Take one of those invites on your seat. Invite someone next Sunday. God bless you. Tell your neighbor it was good to see them. We'll see you next week.
I need a Holy Ghost awakening my soul. A love that glows rattling in my bones, still the evidence shows. I need a Holy Ghost awakening my soul. I need a heart on fire that'll never grow tired wherever I go. I need a Holy, Holy Ghost. I need a ghost. Holy, Holy.
We'll see you next time.